Welcome to Flick Through Friday, where I, KCMY, give you a movie review on a TV show, movie, documentary, literally anything you watch on a streaming service to cut your time in half and really get down to brass tacks to see whether the movie you're flicking to is worth it or not. Welcome and thank you for coming and listening. Today's episode is going to be on This is on Red Notice with Gal Gadot, The Rock, and Ryan Deadpool Reynolds. How do y'all feel about it? I got my friends here. We got Faust.
Hey, how's it going?
We got Sean.
Yo, what's up?
We got Michael.
Hello.
Fantastic. We're going in on Red Notice. Acting and plot. Let's go. It is fast as fuck and kind of lazy.
Yes, it is.
I thought it was fun. It was a fun treasure hunt movie. You guys know how I feel about treasure hunt movies. I love them.
I don't know, I felt like it was kind of like that, and Uncharted just, I don't know, it's not as creative.
It's Uncharted?
Dull as shit.
Dull, it's not sharp, like you will literally either go to sleep or wake up and like ask, go to guest services, can I get a ticket exchange
for come on,
for
well,
something?
It was on Netflix, so well, you couldn't do that.
I will say this. I watched it with these guys here. I fell asleep.
Yeah, several times.
I fell asleep three times.
It was his idea to watch it in his house, and he fell asleep. It was awesome.
Yeah, it was also ideas to get several Mike lemonades.
Yeah, I've had several Mike lemonades and a couple slices of pizza, so I was gone.
Yep. We were gone.
It was kind of a fun time, you know, like it's something like if you have your family over that you haven't seen in a while and some friends and you don't care about the movie that's going to play, you're not trying to pay attention to it.
It's meant to be background
noise. It's like background noise.
It's Netflix. Netflix movies are meant to be background noise, right?
That's what scares me, and that's the whole point of this podcast here, is to like navigate us not only through movies that we can catch in theaters, but to navigate us past the shit that is just background noise for Netflix. Because mm-hmm. then we like actually route out really good stuff.
Klaus is good.
Klaus is fucking awesome.
I watched that one.
There's
watch it on Christmas.
Christmas?
Yes.
That's not for a while.
Well, yeah, wait for Christmas.
You know another one that's really great? The Irishman is fucking fantastic.
Oh, yeah, that's a great movie.
It's so long.
It's so super long, but I would watch it if I wanted like some like, okay, this is badass, but we're getting off track, off topic. Red Notice. It's lazy because it reminds me of the Ocean's 11 series, but with less work involved.
Yeah.
Less work involved. I don't know about that. I mean, look, it was a treasure hunt. Were there puzzles? A little. There was history, and you guys love when there's history involved. Don't laugh.
I love it. The reveal, like, trying to make the reveal work, it's like they just added inserts in. They're like, oh, yeah, they were totally on the same page with each other. Yeah, totally. This wasn't just forced out of nowhere in the writer's room.
I don't know. I don't know if I agree with that. I think there was, you know, I mean, they hold your hand when they were like, they flip the script on you, they do the twist, and then show you the flashbacks. See when he said this, when he said this, when he said this. See, this whole thing does make sense, you know?
I mean, what was the point? What was the point of this movie? Like, what was the plot line? Eggs, three eggs. Okay, wow. Why should I care about three golden eggs?
There's three eggs, and these people, they care about money, but also maybe they don't. It's all about what's important to you. Is it about money? Is it about sticking it to your family? Or is it about the thrill of the chase, of the hunt, the thrill of being a criminal?
I don't think they should have betrayed each other. In fact, when Ryan came out of the boat at the end, I really wish he would have just shot them both for betraying him.
I feel like Ryan Reynolds is playing the same role. He was with the bodyguard and the bodyguard's wife, Hitman's bodyguard's wife, or whatever it's called. It seems like it's the same role he's playing. Like, he's this guy who's a con artist. He sneaks in to steal shit. Then comes this other person who's after him, and now he's got to fight that person. And then they're together, tied up, putting in the situations to where they're tortured for information, and then they're released, and then something else. I don't know. It just feels like it's very copy-paste, just lazy writing, just to have that same actor do the same thing. Ryan Reynolds has worked with muscle-bound people before. Let's put The Rock now. Now let's put a good-looking woman, Gal Gadot, who's Wonder Woman. Let's have her do a few Wonder Woman poses, and then that's it. This is like, this is what I mean by creative juices. Screenwriters are not trying to pitch ideas. They're not thinking. They're copying and pasting. They just want the money. It, to me, this movie is like...
I think I... I have to... I partially second that. Because I will say this. As a writer and as like listening to a lot of writers' podcasts, they do pitch ideas. Mm-hmm. They pitch a fuck ton. Mm-hmm. But then if you notice, A24 has this like really fantastic like filmography of like really, really brilliant, insightful plot twists and like fully thought out plot structures versus like major recording studios, major movie studios like Netflix and Paramount just churning out sequels. I think it's the studios who get the ideas from writers, they batter it down to make the money and then release it. But then if you give it to somebody like A24 or Monkey Paw, right? Like independent contractors, like people who like go out there and they've made a name for themselves a couple times. Yep. I think that's where like that's where the writers can like find their love. They'll definitely be also challenged by the head writer or the head guy in charge. Like, I can't see Jordan Peele, like, taking just anything. Yeah. You know what I mean? But I partially agree with you there. Like, I feel like the studio probably pressured those writers to, like, create something in order to fit those three super personalities and, like, make this thing work. It feels like that.
I mean, that might be how it worked, or it could be that these producers just go through scripts. Okay, what – they look at all these scripts. Okay, that's an idea. What fits best with these – They look through all these scripts, like what fits best. Okay, this will look good with these three actors. We won't put in a movie. Call the actor. Hey, we're buying this script. You get the money. It might look like that.
They kind of white scripts and roles for certain actors. I mean, they actually do that. They actually will write a role or you know, I'm trying to say it with an R. I have difficulty pronouncing my R's. With the role, they write a role for an actor based on their stereotype, the archetype that they've been playing. Like the white plays all kind of big men, like secret agents, FBI type, police officer type, and he's yet again another agent that's after this con artist. Ryan Reynolds has been a con artist in multiple movies, and Gal Gadot has more or less been a Fast and Furious or athletic female character that can go on par with both Muscle Bound and Smart Con Man.
Yeah.
I mean, it's...
And I also, like, will point out that as far as, like, the whole theory goes with, like, how producers are gonna, like, write stuff, I also remember Ivan Reitman doing that for Jim Belushi before he passed away. Like, he wanted Jim Belushi for Bill Murray, and then he got Bill Murray and then ran with it. So yeah, that kind of I can feel that. I can definitely sense just bits and pieces of that. Going on to the costuming, I cut to Ryan Reynolds making a heavy-headed comment about The Rock's leather jacket. First of all, where'd you get that jacket? It's a statement piece, right? There's a cow. There's a half-naked cow out there somewhere talking about worth it. Like that.
Vegans would disagree.
Vegans would horribly disagree with that, but God, he was right. Like, that was a big-ass leather jacket.
Gal Gadot looked awesome in all those dresses she wore and that one, like, pantsuit she wore. She fucking sexy as hell. Thanks for the costumes.
I think The Rock actually wore that jacket at the premiere. I didn't see him, but I get the feeling that he wore something similar, at least, to that jacket. It looks really good on him. I kind of want to, like, that's a jacket you would wear with a turtleneck, and you'd wear it to Pamille. That's the type of jacket he was wearing, and I like the jacket, too. Ryan Reynolds, I feel like he wears the same kind of business suit.
Henley shirt.
Not necessarily always the tie, but he's always, I mean, he even did it in Free Guy.
Yeah.
He's like a business, he has a business entrepreneur look to him. I mean, come on, he's now the new, he's the new founder of Mint Mobile?
No, well, actually, I would fact check there. Mint Mobile's been around for a minute. Yeah, I think he's
the spokesperson.
Yeah, he's a spokesperson.
He bought it or something. So
he's the founder.
He's not the founder, but
he's the owner. He's the owner of Mint Mobile. That's what I was meaning to say. Like, he's had Mint Mobile for a minute. It's just, it hasn't, like, really gotten traction because, well, you know, it's Ryan Reynolds. You know, like, Like, the most famous movie he had ever been in was The Proposal with fucking Betty White and what's-her-face. It's Sandra Bullock. Like, Sandra Bullock and Betty White were the higher-paid actors than he was on the same movie.
That makes sense.
And then that, and then of course he had the Van Wilders to like hit for his claim to fame.
Yeah.
But I think I feel like he had Mint Mobile kind of then, and no one was really taking it too seriously. But I don't know.
No, I think the owner. There was another owner before him, so he definitely did buy it.
Isn't a cellular phone podcast.
That is true. Anyway, we're getting off topic. We got to get back to costuming. As far as costume goes, he has the same kind of type, same thing with Gal Gadot, same thing with The Rock. They all wear like really nice, fantastic things. They look fucking good.
They look so sexy.
They look red carpet. They're sexy. They go to red carpets all the time. The
costume changes are very quick. It was funny when they're on the plane and he has that sweatshirt because that got to dance and he's all mad about it. Like, how come you get a cool jacket?
Always has cool jackets. Cinematography is hilarious. And also have to throw back to Doctor Strange. There is a timepiece used to open a door.
Oh, yeah. I guess that's a cliche now, isn't
and,
it?
And when you unravel it, it forms in the shape of a swastika. So maybe a little... yeah.
It's there has to be Nazis in a treasure hunt movie, guys. Yeah. It's kind of
like Indiana Jones in the Crystal Skull. There was Nazis in that.
No, that's what I'm saying. That's why I said that.
Crystal Skull. Those were Russians.
I know. No, they were technically Nazis.
Wait, there were Russians or Nazis? Hang on.
No, there's a Russian prison, but a Nazi treasure thing. So it's like a World War II, Stalin.
So Russian Crystal Skull Nazi. What was it? The third one.
Last Crusade.
The Last Crusade was Nazis for sure.
Well, they were also invaders.
Temple of Doom was like Indian cultists, nothing to do with them.
Okay, we're off topic again.
We're definitely off topic.
Costumes.
Well, he literally whistled Indiana Jones when they stumbled upon that Nazi tomb.
Well, now we're talking about music.
He really did throw in. He really did throw Indiana Jones under the bus like that.
He did.
Yeah.
Wow.
He made a lot of movie references.
He made a.
Which is okay.
It's great.
That's kind of his character. The movie after is quippy.
It kind of reminded me of Black Widow at the beginning when they're breaking out the, what's his name? The Soviets, the red guy.
Her dad.
They're breaking her dad out and he's in that Russian prison. And right when she does that pose that her sister talked about, the arm in the hair, that prison scene in the Red Notice reminded me a lot of that.
I see that.
It was a cool sequence, I think.
It's a definite cool sequence. And I will say this, I'm noticing. They used movie references to keep audiences in the same mood about the movie the entire time.
Kind of. Right. But it kind of distracts from me because I just rather be watching that movie than this.
That's funny. When he talks about Pulp Fiction, like, I haven't seen Pulp Fiction in a while.
No, it's the watch from Pulp... That was really left field for me. Like, that did take me out.
I literally have it marked in, like, my Regal name tag as, like, my favorite movie, Pulp Fiction.
So you excited for that reference?
Excite me. It was like,
okay. That was a good jab. That was a good slap in the face.
I'm like, this is a guy with the RPG. Like, he opens out the door.
Especially when you're considering like the whole story of the watch being up like two guys' asses.
Yeah, so. And you remember that scene? Like, wait a minute, that's what happened in that movie.
It's my father's watch. Oh my god!
It's been up every ass of every father figure of your.
And keep this in mind. It's never a digital watch. It's always an analog watch.
Well, yeah, it's an old-timey watch.
Michael.
In the 1940s.
Michael, if the watch is used to open a trap door or some kind of secret entrance, how would a digital watch work?
Well, there's watches that have both analog and digital.
Yeah, I know.
So it depends on the lock. If it's a digital coded lock, it could be a digital lock. If it's a,
what if they have digital coded locks in 1940s?
Let me put the pin in it with this. What if we go into the far distant future, 2030, 2050, right? And then the doors have like little digital analogs in them and we could... You could get an Apple Watch from the early 2000s.
Like Indiana Jones 2099.
2099. You get an old Fitbit and it works.
And Indiana Jones is like 1,000 years old.
Somebody probably has it as their vault key card. Like instead of using their eyes or the voice, they literally just put on the Apple Watch onto the device and it just says access granted.
Total other non sequitur here. I'm watching Close Enough on HBO, and we're watching like influencers get into it with another influencer.
I need to watch that. I do love the first two seasons of Close
Bro, Enough. Bro, and like there's these kids who like rollerblade right up next to them. They're like, hey, you want to get on the Flick Flock? Like TikTok knockoff, right?
Flock?
Yeah. Something like that, right? And these kids said, man, that's for pussies. Wait, that's for grannies, that's right? That's a cartoon.
Yeah, it's a cartoon.
That dude, these little kids were like, man, that's for grannies. We're on the bleep blop now. They backflip the fuck out of the screen like, yo, that's our future. That is our future. Indiana Jones and all of that is going to be terribly, terribly outdated because now I realize, like, all of those references are over 30 years old.
Yeah.
God.
But this movie, I think we established, not as good as Indiana Jones.
Definitely not as good as Indiana Jones.
It's still not bad.
It's still not bad. The worst movie I've ever seen. It's an honest movie.
I don't know what it would take for me to not like a treasure hunt movie. It just... It's incredibly hard to make me not enjoy a treasure hunt movie. They're just so much fun. Whatever you do,
true.
This treasure,
national you find treasure.
It, I love it.
You put national treasure in the mix. You know, with Nick Cage can fuck it up.
He is a national treasure.
He is a national treasure. You were right, Faust. I mean,
to me, that's. Yeah, I'm sorry, but the National Treasure 1 and 2, they're the best national they're the best treasure movies, period. Because it's how much, once again...
I agree, Michael.
Once again, this is before technology really made people, like, I don't know, less creative. They were forced to get the writing done. They were forced to sit there and pitch ideas and also combine them and, like, take time in making good stories and putting good puzzles in it. You know, even if they weren't completely accurate, I mean, and things like this movie, like Red Notice, I ask you once again, what is the plot of this movie? Like,
okay, so here's the plot. The plot is...
You have to find
three of Cleopatra's eggs. I believe Alexander the Great gave them to Cleopatra. And apparently when Cleopatra was getting overthrown, she hid the third and final egg somewhere in the big pages of history. And somehow, some way, a Nazi art dealer basically got his hands on it at one point, hid it away. And, you know, like a typical treasure movie, some fanatic with all the riches and valuables of the world disappears off into the forest, doesn't get found out again except for one smart guy. So the whole movie is about three thieves trying to get this third Fabergé egg and restore their honor and not be red noticed. Yes, that is the entire plot of the movie.
I think we covered everything.
We've pretty much covered everything. Yeah. That was Red Notice. You can find it on Netflix. Ryan Reynolds is as Deadpool. Gal Gadot is basically Wonder Woman. And
Dwayne Johnson is literally Dwayne Johnson. Yep.
The dude, he did everything but smolder in the movie. Go check it out for yourself. It's on Netflix.
Oh my God, thank you so much for spending some time with me on Flick Through Friday. Please let me know if I've been of any help, if I have been any help to you at all. Let me know in the comments on my Instagram and or Facebook. Please be unafraid to shoot me a DM. I am always looking to improve. Once again, I appreciate you making it to the end. You have no idea how much I truly appreciate all of you, each and every one of you. So sincerely, from the bottom of my heart, thank you. And I will talk to you next time on Flick Through Fridays.